Well, good morning, everyone. My wife and I did something foolish yesterday. We went and bought a puppy. So we put the dog in the crate beside the bed, and we're thinking we're going to have a great old night's sleep because the people that we bought it from said that, oh, they're crated. They sleep fine. Well, that's not true. So we take the dog out of the crate, we put it in his little bed between us in our bed. Can you imagine? And anyway, that thing, it decided at about 2 in the morning to just have a party. And it went right crazy. It was jumping around and licking and climbing all over our necks and heads and everything. And I woke up in the morning and my left eye was swollen shut. I think it might have been licking in my eye or doing something. But anyway, I was a mess when I woke up, and I said to Cindy this morning, I said, get up with the dog with me, and she's like, no, I was up all night with it. Let me sleep a little bit longer. So I took the dog out early, and I'm sitting there trying to study. Well, that dog was licking between my toes, chewing on my toes, trying to get up on my lap, and just about everything it can do. Anybody want to buy a dog? All right. All right, there we go. Sold. All right, let's pray. Unite our hearts in prayer. We'll get into the Word of God here today. That was our exciting story the last couple of days, but please pray for us as we try to get this dog used to sleep. Father God, thank you, Lord, for today. Thank you for your Word. We pray that you speak, Lord, in and through your Word. Lord, let your Spirit move upon this congregation. Lord, do a work in our hearts. Help us to leave here different. We love you, Lord Jesus. In Christ's name, amen. Well, we started a few weeks back before our Thanksgiving message, a message on courage. And I wanted to build upon that message on courage. And I hope and pray that that one was a blessing to you. And I hope that this one as well is a blessing to you. You know, today we are going to dig into the book of Judges, which that was kind of punishing for a young girl to read through that book. I apologize wherever she is, but that's a hard book to read through, especially with the names and everything else. So that's my fault for sure. But anyway, in the book of Judges, you get into one of the characters, one of the well-known characters, and that is Gideon. And we know that Gideon was a man of God. We know that he did many wonderful works for God. But we know something about Gideon in the portion of scripture that we read here this morning is that he suffered with something. He suffered with things that we suffer with. He suffered with fear. He suffered with doubt. And he just suffered with really questioning God. Like, is this really you? Is this really a call on me? You know, Lord, and we're going to get a little bit more into that as well. So here are four things that we're going to dig into today. He and his people were persecuted and oppressed. Number two, he was a fearful man, and he was, in this portion of scripture, a coward. We've seen that he was a coward. Number three, he doubted and he questioned God. And number four, he became a fearless general of a Jewish army. You see, God is in the business of using men and women that are weak. They are unassuming. Who here has ever heard of a vehicle called a sleeper? Anyone? Put your hand up if you have. A vehicle that's called a sleeper. So a sleeper is really a hunk of junk. Looks like a hunk of junk. You're looking at it and you're going, look at the rust on that thing. It's four-door, not two-door. It's not sporty looking. And you know, these things pull up beside another vehicle and next thing you know, they put the gas down and they have an unbelievable motor in it, and they just wipe out everything, and they're super fast. Well, it's kind of a picture of Gideon. He was a sleeper that needed to be awakened. The title of today's message is From Coward to Courageous. Gideon was a farmer turned military leader, and he was considered one of the great folk heroes of the Jewish nation, and still today they hold up Gideon's name high. Like other farmers of his day, he was forced to hide from the Midianites. Who were the Midianites is a question for you today. Well, they were desert warriors who invaded the northern Israeli farm country every year around harvest. And they would take everything. They would destroy everything. They would kill. They would maim. They would do what they needed to do to cause havoc on the people of Israel. The Bible says in Judges 6:5, they would come like locusts in number. And the raiders eventually forced farmers to abandon their fields and seek safety up in the mountains and the caves. And guess what? To this day, you look it up for yourself because you can. You can look at maps and that, and you can see where the Jewish people of that day went and hid, and the caves are still there today. Gideon himself took refuge in a wine press of all places to thresh out his wheat by hand. Rather than using an ox and a sledge and doing it in front of everybody to see, he hid and did it himself. You see, he was scared. That leads us to our first point. Point number one. When you allow your enemies to have victory, you will run and you will hide like a coward, truthfully. You will. Judges 6:1-2 says this, "The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hands of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian overpowered Israel, and because of Midian, the people of Israel made for themselves dens that are in the mountains and the caves and the strongholds." So who were the Midianites? And you see, with me, I like to do a little bit of a dive about the people and the history and the culture. And it's fair today to do that so you understand who these people are and why they were doing what they were doing. The Midianites were herdsmen that were from the family of the Ishmaelites. That probably rings a bell for many of you. The founding father of the Ishmaelites was Abraham's firstborn illegitimate son, whose name was Ishmael, who we know that he had this son with a lady by the name of Hagar, and Hagar was the handmaid of his wife, Abraham's wife. And we call that son an illegitimate son. They were called the children of the East in the past, and Midian had sustained a severe blow. And when was that? If you look in your Bibles in Numbers, chapter 31, 1-18, you will see that Moses and his army came in and dealt a severe blow to this people group, the Ishmaelites. And guess what? They had a grudge. Who here has ever had a grudge? Don't put your hand up. But I mean, they had a grudge against the Israelites, and they were going to make them pay. And you see, sometimes we do that. We have a grudge against someone, and we're going to make them pay no matter what. And that's what these people were doing to the Israelites. And this goes on a little bit further, and we know that if you go back to Ishmael, and we know this man, this individual, he's talked about in the book of Genesis, chapter 16, verse 12. And this will give you a little bit of a glimpse of this man's heart. But believe it or not, this man's heart and his attitude and his actions spread from generation to generation to generation. We talk about generational curses, and we talk about generations being just like the generations of the past. Well, this is what you're seeing here. "He shall be a wild donkey of a man. His hand against everyone." The Bible doesn't say some. It says everyone. "And everyone's hand against him. And he shall dwell over against all the kinsmen." You see, so here we have the children of God reduced to rubble, full of fear, starving, and living in caves to escape their enemies. Here's a quote I found. And if I don't mention who actually said it, the reason why is because 3 or 4 people claim they said it. So if you don't see that, that's why. "Sometimes the Lord calms the storm. Sometimes he lets the storm rage and he calms his children." Point number two. When you let your enemies get the upper hand, they will take advantage of you. And the Bible says this in Judges 6:3-4. "Whenever the Israelites planted crops, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east would come up against them. They would encamp against them and devour the produce of the land as far as Gaza and leave no sustenance in Israel and no sheep, no ox, and no donkey. Literally cleaned them out. Cleaned them out. It's hard to live and feed yourself, folks, when you got nothing. It's hard to sustain life when you got nothing. Well, they were being reduced to rubble. You know, this evil people from the east, these evil people from the east wanted nothing less than to starve and reduce to ruin the people of Israel. This is happening today all over the world. You'll see it. If you're watching the news at all, you will see people and nations discrediting, reducing to rubble, and on the extreme side, even killing the people of God, Jews and Christians alike. That leads us to our third point. Point number three, Gideon fearfully hid himself. Judges 6, 11 to 13 says this, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash the Ebusite, while his son Gideon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you.'" Listen to these words. "O mighty man of valor." Not crazy. It doesn't belong there, does it? Should have raised that because it doesn't add up, doesn't go along with the rest of what this is truly saying here. But yet it's there. This message spoken from the angel of the Lord, who was a pre-incarnate Christ, this in systematic theology is called a Christophany. Today, some of you may be avoiding a tough conversation with a family member, friend, co-worker, even your boss. Today, you may be facing the dilemma of standing up for your faith, or you may be rejecting Christ openly in hopes that you will keep the peace. And you see, we're all guilty of that sometimes, right? We are. We are like Gideon, hiding in the winepress when we should be out doing what God has commanded us to do. I don't know what you're facing today, but it would help you to know that the Lord is with you. Even when you don't think the Lord is with you, like Gideon, I'm here to tell you today, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. Judges 6, 12 to 13, last part of 12 and all of 13. "The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor." And Gideon said to him, listen to these words, "Please, sir, if the Lord is with us," listen to this, "why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hands of Midian." This is a defeated man. This is a defeated man. He's defeated. He's downtrodden. He's broken, perhaps. And this is him talking to God. And guess what? He hides nothing. He's honest. He's talking to God, saying, "We're defeated. I'm defeated." Often in life, you and I will hide ourselves because of fear, maybe shame, maybe unbelief. But God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His promises are true, and his mercies are new every single day. Gideon needed to hear from God. And he needed to hear these words. Number one, "The Lord is with you." In our darkest days of trials and tribulations, we need to know that the Lord is with us. And number two, you mighty man of valor. You see, I have a question for you today. Did you read Judges 6:11? I did a moment ago. The Bible says that Gideon was hiding from the Midianites. How can Gideon possibly be a mighty man of valor? Often we judge a book by its cover, don't we? I remember one time I was in Bible school and a guy got up there to speak. He was our guest speaker. And he started stuttering immediately. Could hardly get a word out. And I'm going, oh dear, what is this conference going to be like? This was our main speaker. And then this guy started speaking, and I will tell you, the Spirit of God was upon this man. His sermon out of the years that I was in Bible school was one that truly touched my heart and my soul the most. And yet, you had to distinguish truly what he was saying. You had to really listen. But man, did God ever use him mightily. You mighty man of valor, some of the most unassuming men and women are used mightily for God's glory. I'll give you an example of that here today. 1 Samuel 16, 11 to 13. It says this. Then Samuel said to Jesse, are all your sons here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. But behold, he is keeping the sheep. In other words, hey, he's busy. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and get him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. In other words, David's father, Jesse, never called him or considered him to bring his youngest son to meet Samuel. He's like, this guy's a no one. Leave him where he is. He's looking after sheep. Leave him alone. And yet, Samuel knew that he had to have that youngster in that room at that moment. You see, when you think of that, in other words, David's father, like I said, Jesse, never even considered him. The Bible says this in verse 12, and he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and had beautiful eyes and was handsome. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. So when you look that up in commentaries, whatever you want to do with it, you go ahead. I challenge you to do it. This is what it says about this appearance of David. A lot of commentaries believe that the word ruddy means red-haired or a child of golden locks. The hair of this kind of person is often associated with delicate skin and a light complexion and sometimes weakly. So when you doubt, you know, sometimes you miss things. You miss people. You doubt people. We bypass people. This was about to happen. So David did not look the part of a man of mighty valor. You see, but the Bible associates him with killing not only Goliath, but tens of thousands of other men. Look it up for yourself. 2 Samuel 10:18, 1 Chronicles 19:18. Then verse 13 goes on. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward, and Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. When you doubt, you end up questioning. And when you look at verse 13, if the Lord is with us, like Gideon is saying here, and he has made promises to us that he is with us, then why? Do you hear that? Why? And here's some of the whys. Why did you let this happen? Where were you? Where are your miracles? Why have you forsaken us? Why did you deliver us into the hands of the Midianites? Why? I found this quote, where God places a period, let no man put a question mark. You see, why does God delight in using broken, weary, weak, and defeated people? Because my Bible says that his strength is made perfect, right? Perfect in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9 says this, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of his weakness, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. In the Hebrew, Gideon's name means slasher, hewer. It is a name associated with a farmer. And then yet you take that same name and you turn it around And that slasher and hewer is exactly what he became of men, not of crops. Because he became a fearless leader and warrior. You see, the Bible says this in Judges 6, 14 to 16. Then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this might of yours. I see what's here. That might that is in there. I see it. You don't see it, Gideon. But God's saying, I do. Go in this might of yours." Go means go in this might that I'm going to give you. And then it says this, "And you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? Am I not with you, Gideon? I'm here to tell you that I am with you, and I'm going to give you the power, the knowledge, the wisdom, the might to do what I have equipped and called you to do." Look at verse 15. "So he said to him, Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest of Manasseh. My clan is the weakest, smallest, and we are nothing compared to the other clans. Why are you choosing me? There's so many other people that you could choose that is better than me. And I am the least in my father's house." So not only the smallest clan, not only the weakest clan in Israel, but yet, we know that Gideon was not seen as very much, and even in his father's house. And how do I know that? Well, this was said that he was out threshing wheat in a wine press, hiding. He was doing the work of a slave, of a servant. And yet God came to him and met him there. Verse 16 says, "And the Lord said to him, Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. When you know you are weak and small in the least, what do we often do? We hide, we cower, and we even demean ourselves, saying, we can't do that, I can't do that." You know, over the years of ministry, I've seen so many people do that in the church. "I can't do that. I can't teach. I can't be a part of that ministry. I can't." And then yet, as I encouraged them over the years, you would see that these people that thought they couldn't were some of the best Bible teachers and servants that we had in the church, truthfully, the ones that thought they couldn't do it. When we know that God is with us and we are not weak, you know, we are not weak. And what do we typically do? Well, when we know that God is with us and we know that we're no longer weak, well, we get to this point. Point number four, Gideon picks a fight. Judges 6, 25 to 27. Let's read that together. Look up at the screen. Look at your Bibles. I want to encourage you to look in your word, in the Word of God. If you have it. "That night the Lord said to him, Take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has and cut down the Asherah that is beside it." The Asherah, if you guys don't know this, I'll tell you what it is, was believed to be the Canaanite goddess mother, a deity that they believed in. And she was the mother of, well, this deity of mothers and motherhood, fertility, and prosperity. And then we go to verse 26. I'm going to continue on. "And build an altar to the Lord, your God, on top of the stronghold here with stones. Lay them in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you had cut down." So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid, do you hear that? Of his family and the men of the town to do it by day, he did it by night. You see, Gideon did not have the whole faith thing figured out yet, you see. Because truly, if he truly believed in God, that God was with him, he would have did it by day, picked the fight by day. But he didn't. He picked the fight by night. We see that because he is doing everything by night. If he truly believed that God had his back, he would have done it by day, like I said. But Gideon still listened, and he still picked the fight of the enemies of Israel, the townspeople, and his own father's household. He became very unpopular very quickly. He did. So here's a question for you today. Who or what wicked system or person do you need to pick a fight with today? You see, I'm talking a godly fight, a Christ-like fight. A fight for the Word of God, for truth, for Jesus Christ, for salvation in Him alone. I have ruffled many, many, many feathers in my years of ministry, in my years of being a Christian. The reason why is because I had to tell people the truth a lot. And some of the truth doesn't always sit well with folks. You see, people need Jesus. And guess what? That's unpopular. We're supposed to keep that to ourselves. Keep religion in the church, right? Well, it's not what God has commanded us to do. He told us to go into the highways and byways, preach the gospel, share it. This lost and dying world, they need to know that they're facing eternity, an eternity in hell. And they need Jesus. They need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And it takes courage to do it. It takes courage to stand up for things that are right and stand against things that are evil. You see, we're called to do that as Christians, no matter the cost. I always suspected one day I'd go to jail for my faith. But at the same time, I want to go for my faith, not for something else. I want to go for standing up for the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. Not for something that's not worth fighting for. You see, sometimes we need to be like Gideon. We got to stand up when everybody else is fleeing. To finish up today, with God's help, Gideon assembled an army of 32,000 men. And he told the men, anyone here among you who is afraid, what do? Go home. You imagine being Gideon and telling them to skedaddle? Time to go. Now you see 22,000 men walk away from you? That'd be terrifying. And yet, here they did. 22,000 men left. That leaves Gideon with 10,000 men. God says, still too many. Too many men. Then God gets Gideon to have the men go down and drink at a stream. The ones that got down on all fours and stuck their face into the water and drank were sent home. In the end, Gideon was left with 300 men. Do you want to know what that tells me here today? God was going to get the glory for this, not Gideon and not the men, because God was with him, remember? And then what happens? Well, historians say this, that Gideon went up against 135,000 Midianites. You imagine 300 men against 135,000 Midianites that are there to take your crops, steal your ox, sheep, donkeys, literally clean you out. And yet Gideon went there with 300 men. Gideon trusted God with his 300, and he still wins the battle. You see, Gideon was clear and calling himself down to the lowest. Some words he used was, why? Where are all your miracles? We are weak. We are small. I am the least. We often see ourselves this way, but God calls and awakens the sleeping giants inside of us like he did with Gideon. You see, remember, Gideon was hiding and he was cowering when God called him these words. And never forget this, you mighty man of valor. God seen in him what no one else seen. And he does that with you and I today. Isaiah 41:10 says this, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That's the God I serve. Amen. Amen. Worship team, come on up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day you've given to us, Lord. Thank you for the story of Gideon and how we can apply this story to our lives, to our hearts today, Lord. Help us to be fearless, Lord. We know the grass withers and the flower fades, but the Word of God shall stand forever. The Word of God is true, it is powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword. And we know that in the pages of your Word tells the most beautiful story ever told. And it is the story of redemption, of hope, of holiness, of heaven one day for those who place their trust in Jesus. Jesus, you said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one can come to the Father except through me. Lord, we know that you are the only way to heaven. And upon believing in you, Jesus, confessing our sins, that we are sinners in need of a Savior, you have promised to fill us with your Spirit that gives us exactly what Gideon had here, the power and the might to fight for his people and fight for what is right. Lord, we pray that we have this power today to tell people about you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We give this day to you in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you all.